WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special program with the Newport Music Festival's director, Pamela Pantos. I'm Mike Mano, and we're going to be talking about Beethoven at the Breakers.
Very exciting.
I love the alliteration.
As you know, next year is a huge Beethoven year, 250th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is sort
and
of a...
And he looks great.
Yeah. And this is sort of a little taste. And we are very, very lucky that this concert is sponsored by Discover Newport. So thank you to our friends at Discover Newport for everything that they do for us and the entire community. It's really wonderful to have an agency like that, that promote, you know, culture, arts, sports, everything for the greater Newport area. So we're very lucky, and a huge thank you to Discover Newport. So this concert is Beethoven at the Breakers on Tuesday, July 9th at 8 p.m. And we do have special student tickets. There are 5 tickets left for students that are only $20. And the program's fabulous. And if you've never experienced classical music, this would be one of those programs where you just come and enjoy. So they're only $20. Please call the box office at 401-849-0700 for those tickets. And if you know of a student that you'd like to buy a ticket for, you're more than welcome to do that as well.
There you go. All right. But don't delay. They're going to be gone quickly.
Yeah, this concert is selling very quickly. So the program begins with one of Beethoven's most famous piano sonatas, the one that we nicknamed the Appassionata, piano sonata number 23, opus 57. So Appassionata means passionate in Italian. And one of the reasons it's called that is Beethoven himself played this piece with such passion and fervor that he used to break strings during the performances, and actually sometimes his pianos had to be restrung during the performances, which I think is fascinating. He composed it, we think, about 1804, 1805, maybe even as late as 1806, and it was dedicated to Count Franz von Brunswick, who was one of his mentors and patrons. So it was never called the Appassionata during his lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Labeled so later because of just the fury and the excitement of the piece. It is one of his greatest piano sonatas and incredibly challenging. And until he wrote the Hammerklavier, which is just a few piano sonatas later, it was considered his most tempestuous, most difficult piano sonata. And it was right after he wrote that, you know, very famous letter to his brother about the irreversibility of his hearing, that he was going deaf, and that he was coming to grips with it. And so it almost feels like it's his reaction to that. And the explosiveness is sort of, you know, all of this bent up emotion in him. So this is going to be played at the festival by Ina Falix, who is a Yamaha artist. And as everyone knows, Yamaha is one of our very, very generous sponsors. And it's in 3 movements, Allegro Assai, Andante con moto, and Allegro ma non troppo, which means, you know, pretty fast, but not quite. And then it ends with a presto, which is very fast. So we are going to hear the first movement, the Allegro Assai, which means sort of leisurely, quickly. And this is the wonderful Alfred Brendel playing.
All right, it's a little bit lengthy, so we'll listen to that in its entirety, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival, is sitting with me. I'm Mike Maino, and we're talking about a special program that's going to be held at the Breakers on Tuesday, July 9th at 8 p.m. Beethoven at the Breakers. Pamela, let's continue.
So it's very exciting when you do an entire program of one composer, because you can hear elements in each of the compositions that resemble each other, and yet you hear the incredible in a composer like Beethoven, the incredible vast panoply and the myriad of sounds that he can create. So the second piece on the program is his eighth violin sonata, Opus 30, number 3.
But no nickname for this one.
No nickname. Okay. No nickname. It was interesting. He wrote 9 of his 10 violin sonatas in his late 20s and early 30s. It was a very short period of time, from like 1797 to 1803. I think it was like 5 years. So it's early in his musical development. So you don't hear what you hear like in the late symphonies or the Fifth Symphony, then you know that very iconoclastic almost, yeah. Right? Yeah. Beethoven style. This is much more lilting, and he's still very connected to the classical era rather than being late Beethoven leading into the Romantic period. So he transforms the violin sonata during this period of time, just like Haydn transformed the string quartet. So, you know, it used to be that it was kind of an amateurish thing, and you could, you know, an amateur could pick up a violin and play with a pianist, and it was lovely, and it was about 15 minutes long. And so he blows the doors open, and now the violin sonatas could be as long as 45 minutes. It became a piece for virtuosi. And so this particular opus is, you know, very interesting. He wrote this in the same year that we were talking about before, that he wrote the famous Heiligenstadt Testament letter, which is where he tells his brother, you know, how upset he is about losing his hearing. And he said, however, with determination, he writes, "I will face fate by the throat. It will certainly not crush me completely," right? And so historians have said that perhaps Napoleon and Tsar Alexander I of Russia were almost inspirational to him in terms of this idea to conquer, right? And that he was personally conquering his own disability. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're going to hear the first movement, the Allegro Assai, here played by the fabulous Midori and Robert McDonald, and then we'll come back.
Thank you.
So we're talking about, you know, the differentiation in Beethoven, and one of the things that many people don't realize is that he himself was a piano virtuoso. And in his early years, that's how he made his living. And his ability to improvise were legendary. Czerny even talked about it later and said, his improvisation was most brilliant and striking. In whatever company he might chance to be, he knew how to produce such an effect upon every hearer that frequently not an eye remained dry, while many would break out into loud sobs, for there was something wonderful in his expression in addition to the beauty and originality of his ideas and his spirited style of rendering them. After ending an improvisation of this kind, he would burst into loud laughter and mock his listeners for the emotion he had caused in them. You are fools, he would say. So, you know, he knew he was commanding the situation and he was mocking people. And I think, you know, that says a lot about him. So this piece, his Fantasia in G minor, which starts the second half of the program, is like a written improvisation. It's almost as if Beethoven was sitting at the piano and doing one of his famous improvisations, and yet he wrote it down.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and wrote it down afterwards.
Exactly. Right. And so it's not like a piano sonata where you're looking for form or you're looking for harmonic changes. It's simply he throws out a melody, has a good time with it, and moves on.
He's a jazz guy.
Actually, a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're going to hear Rudolf Serkin play this Opus 77, his Beethoven's Fantasia in G minor.
All right, we'll listen to that and take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, Executive Director. And Pamela, some exciting news is we came in my email box
yes.
with something that I wasn't expecting. a different kind of performer than normally, I would say, at the Newport Music Festival.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We talked about it for the 50th last year, a great deal for the anniversary, that originally the festival did a very broad range of music. You know, over the years they did full operas. They invited dance companies, ballet companies to come and perform. They even had rock bands, believe it or not, come.
Really?
So there has been, within, I think, the 50-year period, you know, expansion in different directions. And so I think in analyzing all that, it gave us the opportunity to think of what is the community really looking for? You know, what are they really enjoying? And we saw last year for the 50th how the West Side Story evening was incredibly well received. And so, you know, moving a little bit in that direction, there's no other organization in the area doing Broadway right here. So we had invited Sierra Bogus. And lucky for her, she got a huge offer. So we went back to the agent and they said, well, we happen to have Megan Hilty available for one evening. And right, exactly. That's what everyone is saying. Wow. So Megan Hilty is the star of NBC's Smash, that TV series. She was in Wicked on Broadway. She was Glinda. She starred in Annie Get Your Gun. So she's had a huge career, and she's coming for this one evening. As a matter of fact, she just had her Live from Lincoln Center evening that was on PBS on May 24th. So a whole evening of her and her music was on PBS. Huge star, and she's coming on Saturday, July 20th. And this is sponsored by Kari and Craig Shapiro. Thank you so much to both of you for sponsoring this very exciting evening. And if you love Broadway and you want to have a fun evening at the Breakers, come and join us.
Now, that those tickets are available the same way all the other things are, right at the website, correct?
Exactly. You can just go to newportmusic.org, or you can call the box office at 401-849-0700. But I'll be honest, these tickets are going very fast.
Oh, so good.
I'm not sure that there's going to be very much left.
What a great place to see a performer like that. And I'm sure for her, she's going to have a ball in that kind of space.
She's done a lot of this kind of, you know, just piano sort of hanging out and doing, you know, her stuff, which I think must be very enjoyable to be so close to your audience.
As a performer myself, I know that when I have that opportunity, versus, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 people in the audience, you get an opportunity to be in a venue like that. And I've been fortunate enough to be at the Breakers many times, and you can see all the faces. And it's like, well, that's very nice. It's very gratifying.
It is. You feel like you've really made a personal connection.
Right.
And you can see the reaction immediately. You know how that is when you're standing on stage and you look out and all you see are the lights and darkness.
Right.
Whereas here, people would be responding. You know, Friederike von Stade last year said how wonderful it was to perform in that space. So, yeah, very excited about that. So I guess we're back to Beethoven. From Broadway to Beethoven.
We'll go back to Beethoven, sure.
So the last piece on this program on Beethoven at the Breakers is one of the Razumovsky quartets. So Beethoven wrote a set called the Razumovskys because of his patron, the Russian ambassador to Vienna, Count Andreas Razumovsky. And this one is the most accessible of the group that he did. He incorporates folk melodies, and it's still very dramatic in a sort of Russian style, but it's very accessible. And it really harkens back, again, you know, it's pretty late Beethoven, and it harkens back to that very classical form. You hear almost Mozart in it, just the way the form is with the structure and everything. And I think that's one of the reasons it's so loved, is because you hear it and you go, oh, I understand what this is. Mm-hmm. And I think he was having a lot of fun with this one. So this is the Razumovsky Quartet that will end the program. And here we're going to hear the Emerson String Quartet play the first movement, the Allegro, for us.
Excellent. All right. And we'll see you next time here with the Newport Music Festival.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.